Greetings again, brethren. I'd like to begin this message by just asking us all a question, and it's a question that you've heard over and over the years from Mr. Armstrong, and that is, why are we here? Why are we here at God's Feast of Tabernacles, and why in particular are we here at this feast, brethren? Why are you here at this place in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee? Well, first of all, it's commanded. There's one reason we're commanded to be here. Another reason is that hopefully we all have the mindset or attitude that we're getting back on track. So that's why we're here in this specific place, in Pigeon Forge. And also another reason is that the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is very important, we should never forget this, the Feast of Tabernacles pictures a foretaste of the world tomorrow. We're also here to learn. To learn more of God's ways. And why is that? Why are we here to learn? Because we don't know it all. We just do not know it all yet, brother. So if you need a title for this message, it's getting back on track and preparing to teach. And so what I'd like to do here momentarily, I didn't bring my Bible up, but I'm going to read from, and this is actually on the website, but this is a June 24th, 1985, special edition of the Worldwide News. But before I start that, I'd like to just make a couple of comments. I've had quite a few questions asked to me by various people here since just in the last 3 days, and good questions. I mean, there is no such thing as a dumb question when it comes to God's truth or God's ways. And I get questions all the time, even through the website or about the website, and concerning God's truth, and I try to answer the best I can, but I can only answer according to what I know is truth. I don't have all the answers. I have questions myself, brother. I really do have questions, because we're in a where there's a lot of gray areas where we are living at now at this time in prophecy, and we know there's going to be exciting times ahead of us, but hopefully, again, I don't have all the answers to all questions, and I answer what I do know. What I do know is to hold fast to what God gave us, that silver platter, that spiritual table of food that he gave us here in the end time, and to hold fast to that and to grasp it with all my heart, mind, and soul, because that's what we're here to do, is live by that. And hopefully I can learn here from you, brethren. There's a wealth of knowledge in this room, a multitude of counsel, and I'm here to learn just as you are. So we don't know everything there is to know yet. However, we have been given all things that we need for salvation. See, we have been given that. So says God's word. We have been given everything we need for salvation if we hold fast to it. And then, as we hold fast to that, we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to, at this time, there's a multitude of wisdom in this little publication right here, so I would like to read just a few excerpts from it and then pause occasionally and and make some comments. In the beginning of this was like 6 or 7 months or so before Mr. Armstrong died that he wrote this. In the beginning of it, just as an introduction, Mr. Armstrong says, all members need to be updated on the history of the Philadelphia era of God's one original church as founded in AD 31 by Jesus Christ, especially the past 15 years of its life, the church's life. Jesus Christ said that in the world, his church would have tribulations and persecutions. I'll pause reading here, because, brethren, I want us to pay attention to something as I read through this, because it's very up-to-date. And many of these things that he says, you can think about it at the same time in your mind and how it applies today and as what has happened to God's church, what is happening to God's church as a whole, all of God's people. And you can see that it's still very much up to date, and there's much to learn from this. But he says here, no peaceful existence in a hostile world. I'll back up. Christ said that in the world, his church would have tribulations and persecutions. He did not foretell clear sailing, see? No peaceful existence in a hostile world. He quotes scripture here, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. He said again, in God's word, we are warned, it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And that's one reason we're here, brother, is to picture or foretaste of that kingdom of God. And that is our goal, is to make it into God's kingdom. He quotes the scripture again here, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:14. The Apostle Paul warned the elders of the church at Ephesus that grievous wolves would enter in among them, see, among the brethren of the church, to destroy the flock, and also of their own selves some would seek to draw away disciples after themselves. Pause from reading. Have we seen that happen today, brethren, in the end time? Mr. Armstrong continues, why is this so? Why has God's church in this Philadelphia era, see, even though God says in Revelation 2 and 3 that we had nothing really bad to say about Philadelphia, there still was much trouble in Philadelphia. So Mr. Armstrong says, why is this so? Why has God's church in this Philadelphia era gone through a period of friction, controversy and within the church, and split-offs, with certain ministers leaving the church to take followers after themselves during the 1970s? It was even so during the preceding Sardis era. And why has the church withstood this controversy? See, it did withstand it. And even a certain amount of division in our midst, and emerged into unity, harmony, oneness, and thriving progress of the present. So I'm going to skip over a little bit, because this gets into the crux of this message of, today, about learning to become teachers. See, we're here to get back on track and to prepare to teach, rather. And from what I've gathered so far from you, brethren, that I see many teachers in this room already, many teachers. And so I hope to learn from you. So Mr. Armstrong continues over, but the church, on this page, he says, but the church was called out of the world to be separate in living by God's law instead of Satan's way of self-centeredness, the competition and strife following the first Adam. That's why Jesus said the church would be persecuted even as he had been. Those called into the church would live by God's way of love, not the world's way of selfishness. So here, brethren, we have this opportunity to live by love, and I see that all around us right now. This required the presence and flowing into them of the Holy Spirit of God, giving them a different purpose in life and a different mind and attitude than formerly in the world. Mr. Armstrong continues, why did Christ call the church out of the world to be separate from the world? They were called as students. We're students. That's what we are, brethren. The Bible calls them disciples. The word disciple means student or learner. The church was like a school, and Jesus was the original teacher. He called out of the world his 12 disciples or students for the very purpose of educating them to become teachers. See, that's what our calling is about, brethren. And also rulers with and under Christ. When Jesus comes in power and glory to sit on Satan's throne over all the earth and to rule as well as to convert all nations. So to those in the church who are growing in grace and spiritual knowledge, see, growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus says he will give power over the nations to rule them. They shall sit with him on this earth, on his earthly throne, and they shall be made priests or teachers and kings and rule with Christ on the earth. In Revelation 2, he quotes. Now listen to this quotation here. Mr. Armstrong says, the church is actually a school teaching students to become teachers and rulers in God's kingdom. That's why we're here, brethren. That's why we're here today. He continues, but these students or church members must first themselves be converted, begotten as children of God, having received the Holy Spirit, in other words, the tree of life. He has a parenthetical statement that Adam rejected. Why? Because the natural born carnal mind cannot understand spiritual knowledge. Therefore, God has made a special provision, predestinating those he calls out of the world to be called now in this church age, before God opens the tree of life and salvation to the world as a whole. That is why the church is called the first fruits of God's harvest for his kingdom. Let it be emphasized again, as Christ, the second Adam, came to qualify to replace Satan on earth, God chose and called certain ones out of the world to qualify to sit with Christ on that throne. This is not the time that God is trying to save the world. God's judgment day for the world has not yet come. But to those specially called for the very purpose of sitting on that throne with Christ, it was necessary that they receive the Holy Spirit before they could learn God's truth which the first Adam had rejected. That is why the church is only the first fruits of those ultimately to receive salvation. Now, I'll skip over for sake of time, because he goes into a history now of how of the Philadelphia era and how the liberalism began to creep in the 70s and all the different things they got sidetracked on. I will summarize it by one statement over here where he says, these liberals wanted complete freedom in the church for divorce and remarriage at will. Other questions raised by the liberals were complete freedom for any type of marriage, some more and some less freedom from tithing, doing away with or modifying church teachings on healing by direct prayer, as in James 5:14, complete freedom for women in facial makeup. I almost said facial hair there. I was thinking, sorry, got to have a sense of humor. Facial makeup, and even the approval of celebrating birthdays, which is never approved in the Bible, and even of voting in elections as part of the world. Well, today, brethren, we see many of God's individual groups or churches out there doing just that, doing all of those things. Now, on the final page, and here's what I really want to concentrate is on this last page, and I'll leave this up here for anyone to look through it. On this last page, Mr. Armstrong says, and this is good to be brought into focus, because there are groups out there today and ministers who say that Mr. Armstrong never died, he just had a heart attack, and he didn't have to be revived. Oh no, brethren, he was brought back. He even called it a resurrection in here, a physical resurrection. Listen, he says, it is now clearly evident that God brought me back for a vital purpose by CPR from what? Death by heart failure. Had I remained dead, see, he was dead. Had I remained dead, the Church of the Living God would have been virtually destroyed by the liberal element that had crept in, especially in headquarters administration during my absence from Pasadena. During those liberal years, much of what was going on in policy changing and doctrinal liberalization had been carefully kept from me. The Church of God was being systematically liberalized. The broadcasting had gone from top to bottom in the world, and from spiritual effectiveness to almost total ineffectiveness. God says we are to judge by the fruits. During those liberal years, the church was bearing virtually no fruit. Plain Truth had publishing work also had become almost totally ineffective. Ambassador College had been destroyed as God's College in 1977. Listen to this. In 1978, after my quote-unquote resurrection from total heart failure, I had to completely close Ambassador College, Pasadena, starting all over again as in 1947 with one freshman class. The college in England and in Texas had already been closed. And here we go again. Listen to this. It is very evident to those, hopefully that's us, it is very evident to those led by the Holy Spirit of God that there was a very significant reason why God brought me back to life. See, you have to be dead to be brought back to life. To life at age 85 in 1977. And listen to these points, brethren. To once again take over the reins and remove this liberal element, to once again recapture true values, and to prepare the Philadelphia era of God's church for the coming of Christ and the reign of the kingdom of God. Break from reading. I don't hear anything in there about preaching the gospel, you know, putting the emphasis on that. He knew, he had already said it had been completed, or preached to the world as a witness. Now, he did continue with that work up until he died. But he also made it clear that when he died, that gospel commission would be finished and that there would be no one to take his place. So, that was the purpose of him being brought back, to prepare the bride, brethren. That was the emphasis, to prepare the bride. So, when he died, the church was back on track. He spent the last 7, 8, 9 years of his life getting the church back on track, and it was when he died. So, what happened since then? What happened in the last 21 years? Well, let's read on. Now, he was giving a history, but this is also, in a sense, a prophecy, because we see the exact same things happening today. I'm going to drop down for sake of time. He says, speaking primarily of religious leaders, let me pause there. What's another word for a religious leader? A minister. So, Mr. Armstrong says, speaking primarily of religious leaders, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? Every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. The fruits of the rebel leaders, see, that's those ministers, the fruits of the rebel leaders and the liberals of the 1970s should now be clear to all. After some 35 years of steady growth in all facets of the work of God's church, the rate of growth began to slow, then cease entirely in some areas. And finally, even decreases began to be experienced in the number radio and television stations, Plain Truth circulation, number of prospective members, number of co-workers, amount of income for the work, etc., all under the leadership of the liberal element. So that leadership meaning those liberal ministers. So the pause here again, where are those ministers today? See, they're still out there. These, Mr. Armstrong continues, these are well-documented facts that cannot be denied. Now, here is a statement that I think I consider a famous statement now, but at least it should be to us and well-known. And it's something to remember. Mr. Armstrong says here, I want you, brethren, to think about and understand what happened to God's church in the 1970s, lest history repeat itself. But we didn't do that, did we? Because history did repeat itself. I want you to see the fruits of rebelling against God's way and God's government. So today we do see those fruits, brethren, and we're humbly trying to get back on track and back to that foundation. Mr. Armstrong goes on and says, after all, the basic issue all along was that of God's government in the church. One who followed one liberal who, as the Apostle Paul had predicted, sought to draw away followers after himself, Acts 20, verse 30. He said, we are liberated from that church government and now have a loosely knit organization, and that's the way we like it, unquote. Those liberals who are no longer in God's church actually seem to be more interested in the news of the church, especially false accusations, criticisms, and persecutions of enemies, than are the loyal members of the church. It would seem the chief interest in their lives is to hear false reports, accusations, and innuendos against the church. Daniel prophesied, of our time, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I see wisdom in this room, brother. Truly, he says, Mr. Armstrong says, this has been a time of trying and testing. We are the first fruits called to be students that we may become kings and priests and rule with Christ. Revelation 5 verse 10. We in the church are students and we are in the time of final exams, Mr. Armstrong says. Now listen to this, because this he's giving history here, but it's, you can look at this and see exactly it's happened again. Mr. Armstrong says, little groups splintering off centered in Washington, D.C., Eugene, Oregon, Tyler, Texas, Monterey, California, and other places with groups too small to mention, they are not bearing fruit for the kingdom. They are not pleasing God or being blessed by him. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. They usually claim to be branches of the church of God, but Jesus says, I will build my church, Matthew 16, 18. He did not say denominations, sects, cults, branches, or a church divided against itself. Pause from reading. That's exactly what we see today. All those branches and sects and divisions, and they're all calling themselves churches or church of God, this, that church of God, whatever the case may be that they use. So it's happened again. History did repeat itself. He continues on. He did not say, okay, I read that. He says, rather, he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. There is one true church and one only. The Apostle Paul pictured humanly self-appointed branches when he said to the elders of the local church at Ephesus that some of their own selves would depart to draw a following after themselves. A break from reading here. So today, brethren, why are we here again? I hope it's nothing to do with me. We're here because of our minister, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and our high priest, Jesus Christ. That's why. That's why I'm here. Paul said, Mr. Armstrong continues, Paul said, but now they are many members, yet one body. How was that one body organized? Did it have one government? Mr. Armstrong quotes the scripture here, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Pause. Right here, teachers, brethren. See, we're set in the church as teachers. I am, and you are. We're teachers. I'm not above you. I'm a deacon, and a deacon is put into God's church for physical service, physical duties, and that's what I do. Now, in that context, I can also, because the scripture shows, and I'll bring that up later on, I mentioned it on the website, I do have authority to speak boldly in the truth of God, but so do you, every one of you, and to defend that truth. Thirdly, teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, verse 28. Verse 25 shows there should be no divisions in the body, no branches or branch organizations. See? The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I'll stop here and skip over for sake of time. I don't want to run over again. Let me drop down. Mr. Armstrong says, a primary reason for the contentions and slowing down in the growth of the church during the liberal years is the fact that in our desire to hold, now this is interesting, in our desire to hold rebellious and liberal ministers and members within our fellowship, we did not rigidly obey the command of Romans 16:17, which says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to what? The doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Also in 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, see, someone in the church, any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, covetous, or an adulterer, a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one do not eat. So Christ is saying here, brethren, to not even eat or keep company with liberals. That's what Mr. Armstrong is saying. You don't eat or keep company with liberals. So it really ties in with what Jeremiah 15 says about a group of people in the end time who are separating the precious from the vile. God says, you will become my spokesman, my mouth. He says, don't you return to them, let them come to you. So this is what Mr. Armstrong is saying. They realized by trying to allow tolerance, by being tolerant and allowing those things to remain in the church, they were not fulfilling God's command to avoid those, to not even keep company or to eat with those. And he said they were liberals. So let me continue here. I'll just drop down towards the end. Mr. Armstrong says, we who remain in the one and only true church grieve over the loss of those who are so far failing in their final exams. See, we're in those final exams, brethren, and they're almost over. We don't know how much time are left. And I grieve for all of us who may be failing, all of our brothers out there. So there's something to think about. What can we do to help? Can God use us to help others? I don't know as time goes on. See, I have questions too, see. But sadly, Mr. Armstrong says, but sadly we remember that part of the responsibility is ours in not strictly heeding the admonition in Romans 16:17, to note that those that cause divisions and avoid them. We love them all and pray for them. Some of them who have gone out from us were parents, children, brothers, sisters, or close relatives to those who remain steadfast. So today we see it that happening with our own families here. Some of us have families in other groups and churches, and in a sense we've gone out from them because we realize we have to gravitate to those who are like mine, who are holding fast. And it's God's Spirit that does this. It's the only answer that it can be, that God's Spirit will allow those who are truly holding fast to gravitate together, which is one of the purposes of the website. It's not the work in and of itself. It's just a part of it. And only God will reveal in his good time what it all will entail. In the meantime, we hold fast and have faith and follow Christ wherever he leads us. Mr. Armstrong says, meanwhile, we pray also that God will keep those of us who remain loyal, see, constantly steadfast, growing in grace and spiritual character and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, overcoming self, world, and Satan. See, we still have to do that. We're not finished yet. We still have to overcome. I have weaknesses, brethren, I do. And you're going to see some of those probably before the end of the feast is over. So we all need to bear with each other, because as the feast progresses, we get physically tired. Some of us do. I know I do, because I'm weak physically. And in times it catches up with me. So bear with each other in love. Pray that you, Mr. Armstrong says, pray that you, the loyal members of God's church, remain dedicated to the kingdom of God. Again, that's why we're here, which is the government of God. Further down, Mr. Armstrong says, the church is the embryo of the coming kingdom of God, which is the family of God. There will be no divisions in that kingdom. See, no divisions. There must be none in the church, Mr. Armstrong says. So what do we see today? We see division upon division. Now, in the closing statements, Mr. Armstrong says, And Jesus Christ will never receive any of those who have gone out to draw a following after themselves. Now that's frightening, because we see that happening. Our brothers and sisters out here in these churches, and those ministers also are our brothers. Jesus Christ will never receive any of those who have gone out to draw a following after themselves to come back and lead God's church into Satan's liberalism. It would no longer be God's church. That's frightening when you think about what that means today. It would no longer be God's church. Even as Ambassador College was no longer God's college, and Christ had to start it all over again through me with one freshman class. When I have even rarely mentioned my concern in this category, the response of members has always been the belief that God will keep me alive. I hope he will, and I do try to take every care of my health and physical condition, but whether God keeps me alive 10 more years or only 10 more minutes is entirely in God's hands. Brethren, put your faith in Christ, the living God, not in me. It's end of reading on this. Now, so brethren, as we proceed through the rest of this Feast of Tabernacles, let's focus our mindset on where God wants it to be, and that is the millennium, the kingdom of God. That's our purpose in the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. And remember, we are all still in school and still learning to become teachers. I would not be presumptuous enough to say that I know everything or know it all. Then I would be an idiot and a fool to say that. So I do not. I have much to learn. But I do know what little bit that has been given to me that I'm trying to hold fast to, I will defend with my life if necessary. Because there is nothing else. There is nothing else, brethren. I hope we all can understand that. The importance of that. So how much longer will these final exams last? We don't know. Can't be much longer. Just look around on the condition of the world, the condition of God's people today and God's church is continually disintegrating. I'm talking to people right now from different church groups, and even the groups that are branching off of those groups are branching off and disintegrating again. There's contentions and strife, just like you just talked about. It must not be that way. But, brethren, if we pass this period of final exams that we're in right now, and it's almost over, then we will qualify to teach, see? And I think we're almost there, because I'm already learning from many of you. You're already teachers, even some of our children. I'm learning from children and our children. So if we pass these final exams, we'll qualify to teach and to rule with Christ in his coming kingdom very soon as kings and priests. And that is our goal. So have a wonderful feast. I love you all.